Good morning and welcome to the June 6 meeting of the DRB. We have a short agenda today and I'm going to start with attendance by Mike Belush or any updates by the city attorney.
Sure. Thank you, Ms. Keller-Nelson. We do have four members present currently, including Jason Agopian, Scott Diffendorfer, Sam Sheldon, and the chair, Sarah Keller-Nelson. I do anticipate that Orlando Comas will be arriving shortly. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Stephen Rothstein, who can let members of the public know how they may participate today.
Sure. Thank you, Michael. Good morning, all. Today's meeting of the Design Review Board has been scheduled in a hybrid format, with a quorum of the board physically present in the City Commission chambers, and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform webinar. In order to participate in today's meeting, those wishing to participate via Zoom may dial 888-475-4499, which is a toll-free number, and enter the webinar ID, which is 822-7394-1924, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 822-7394-1924. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app or dial star 9 if they are participating by phone. Before I swear in those that are testifying today, I'm going to read into the record the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you are speaking only on your behalf and not any other party, or if you are testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Before we start today's hearing, for those that are here today in chambers that are going to be testifying, I'm going to administer the oath. If you could please stand up. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes. Thank you, and please be seated. And Madam Chair, before we proceed with the agenda, I just wanted to update the board. I'm probably going to be here for about another 2 months, not because I'm leaving the city, but I'm just taking on another board responsibility, and we shift attorneys in our office, so everyone gets the experience of dealing with different issues. So with that, I'd like to introduce Ferocia. She's with our office. She's been here, how many years?
Five and a half,
and she started as a fellow.
Yes,
and
straight from graduation.
And now she's a senior assistant city attorney, so she'll be joining us in September, and I'll be taking on the Historic Preservation Board. So we're doing a whole shift in the office. So,
I look forward to this.
Yeah, so she's going to be here today observing, and as well next month.
On behalf of all of us, welcome, and Stephen, thank you.
And that's it from the city attorney's office. No updates.
Do you want me to approve? Make a motion to approve?
Yeah, I did pass around the minutes this morning from the May 2nd meeting.
Okay.
So I will make a motion to approve those. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 That passes 4-0.
I see that we have no requests for continuances or withdrawals, so I'm going to start the applications. The first one, a previously continued DRB 220876, 333 East Rivo Alto Drive.
Okay, the first item on the agenda is DRB 22-0876, 333 East River Alto Drive, an application for design review approval for the construction of a new two-story single-family home, including review of an understory area to replace an existing home.
So this application was actually first reviewed by the board back on November 1st of last year and was continued based upon some concerns of the board. Due to the length of the continuances without any presentation, the application had to be renoticed. It was renoticed for today, so that's why we're seeing this as a almost new application, but it's something that the board had seen in the past. We are recommending approval of the application. We did note some issues with the understory along the side elevations. We are recommending that those side elevations be opened more along the side. With that, we are recommending approval of the applications in accordance with the draft final order included with the board packages. With that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Balton.
Emily, before you start, just a couple of questions. Board members, have you had any ex parte, have you received any ex parte communications? No? Okay. And Emily, how much time do you need?
If we could do 10 minutes, and if we need additional time, we'll go ahead and ask. I don't know if before we start you want to swear in the rest of our team that's on Zoom. We have the ownership and our landscape architect.
Are they going to be testifying?
Ms. Peterson, Karen Peterson will. And I believe Matthew's online, Matthew Lewis with land. He may.
He is, but his hand's not raised.
There's a Carrie Peterson with her hand raised.
Yes, so I'll put that down.
Okay, Carrie, I just need you to raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And then do we bring over each one? Michael Doers?
Matthew Lewis.
Matthew Lewis?
Yes.
Sorry, Matthew Lewis?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Lewis. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Figured it was easier to get it. No, that's the rest.
Okay, cool.
Easier to get it out of the way. Thank you so much. Emily Balter, Burkhardell, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tapanis. Office is at 200 South Biscayne Boulevard. I'm here today on behalf of Ms. Karen Peterson, owner and eager future resident of 333 East River Alto Drive. With me in person is our design team, Jose Sanchez with Praxis, and my colleague, Matthew Amster. And as you heard, we have our landscape architect, Matthew Lewis, on the line on Zoom. This waterfront property is located on the north side of Rio Alto Island. We could pull up our presentation. The address and the applicant, as Michael mentioned, may seem familiar because we came before you in November. We continued the application, even renoticing it, in order to really consider your feedback and address it with regards to overall massing and some additional details. The applicant and her design team went back to the drawing board. They reevaluated every detail and ensured the home would comply with code and be compatible with the island. The goal is to build a unique and functional modern style home that is resilient, and we're respectfully requesting approval today of the understory. The non-air conditioned understory will be used for open air activities, as you will see, and parking with a stair and elevator access to the first floor that are centrally located. We understand and agree with the condition to work with staff to study the openness of the understory where possible. The applicant reached out to many of her neighbors, all of whom received notice twice for this project, and received written support from two, and the letters are included in the record. They're the two highlighted homes on this list, and here are their letters of support. So with staff support and neighbor support, I will pass the presentation to Jose to walk you through the design of the project. And then after Jose, I'll briefly conclude. And we also have Ms. Peterson on the line who would like to say something. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Jose Sanchez, Praxis Architecture. Continue on the context and the adjacent houses, here you can see some of the residences next to the property. Number two is just to the south, and it's one lot and a half and mostly built property with one and two-story mix. On the left side is the house to the residence number five is the house adjacent to the north. It's a two-story house that occupies most of the lot, and it belongs to the, our clients also. And then to complete part of the context, the house is located right on Fourth Place Terrace in front of it, so it doesn't have any adjacent neighbor. It's facing the street, only on a diagonal has the front neighbors. And on the rear of the property, it's facing the bay towards the sunset area. And if you can go to the next one, please, or the composite. Next slide.
This
one? No, one more. No, I'm sorry. Okay, the front one, the main rendering, please. Okay, so this is the new design of the house. We discussed with the owner, and they have a very specific vision about their house and very unique requirements. And it was redesigned to provide more lavish and elegant materials. The house will now be clad in either stone or simulated stone, if allowed, and wood throughout, even on the sides. And more glazing was added, and it was designed a composition of horizontal and vertical planes to, in a way, break the volume, the boxy volume. And a two-story entrance was added as a requirement. Yeah, the next one. On the rear, this is the one where we had the pool deck. It was one of the first times that we had presented a raised pool deck. Now it has been worked in more detail with stone cladding, side-proof aluminum louver that also plays with the louvers in the house, in the front and on the rear. And the wall has been recessed from the plane of the slab, creating a difference in planes. And on the sides, as it was originally planned, it will have lush landscaping that it can be seen later on when we get to the landscaping. These are some of the differences from the original project and the current project. And the top is the original, and you can see in at the bottom, basically what I explained before on the front facade. On the sides, it's something that we need to work with planning and zoning staff to provide more openings. This is the new design, but it needs to be reviewed and made comply to the satisfaction of planning and zoning. Here you can see the views from the four angles for better visualization, and you can see different planes with the courtyards. There's a courtyard on either side, and also the treatment in the front and also in the rear with planar elements as opposed to closed volumes. Next one, please. The site plan with all the technical requirements. Next. And the diagrams and lot covers that are all within the ordinance. Next one. And the ground floor, the house has four covered parking spaces, and the access to the understory. In the back is all the open understory, and the pool, the area under the pool towards the rear, and access at different points, an exterior stair from the driveway and also from the pedestrian walkway. The internal stair at the elevator lobby and stair lobby on the ground floor, and then a stair to get access to the pier. Next. The first floor plan is a basic floor plan with the main living areas on the rear and two courtyards separating from the from two bedrooms in front. As you come in, you would see the courtyard on the left with glazing and landscaping, and you continue and see the courtyard on the right side. And then you arrive to the main living area. The second floor, it's also a basic floor plan with five bedrooms in between the courtyards. Next. And in the roof plan, there's usable deck towards the rear with access through an exterior stair that's in one of the courtyards, and covered trellis, trellis covering. For the materials, and I mean, and they have not been selected specifically, but this is the guideline and the intention. The idea is to have a very luxurious dark marble for some of the accent elements, then a creamy or beige marble or perhaps porcelain, because sometimes you get more consistency or choices, and a wood in a white oak color type. The elevations are all complying with the heights and the landscape architectural plan. That, if necessary, the landscape architect can expand. But I understand we had, you know, visibility triangle tree issue was removed. The courtyard on the south side used to be a pond, and now it's a garden. So it's a garden. So there was a comment about the planter and the size of that pond. So that shouldn't be an issue now. Next, and this is the front view with the desired design, and that concludes the presentation. For any questions?
Thank you. So Ms. Peterson has taken a great amount of time to reconsider the details and your feedback. She is on the line and would like to say, you know, a few words, if we could bring her up.
Morning, everyone. So I'm Carrie Peterson. I'm the potential homeowner. I want to thank you all for your consideration of this project. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I've been coming to Miami for over 25 years to visit my brother. He has a home here, and it's been a dream of mine to one day live here permanently as well. He ended up building a home 16 years ago now on Delito Drive, so I'd be very close to him and his new twins. I also plan on becoming a resident, and I'm looking very forward to making many more memories with my three kids and eventually grandkids. So thank you for considering this project.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Does that conclude your presentation?
That concludes our presentation. Thank you, and reserve time for any rebuttal.
Thank you so much. I'd now like to open up for any public comments.
And we have one person online with her hand raised, Raul Hinojosa. Raul, you're muted. Do you want to come back?
He put down his hand.
Thank you. So I guess I'll close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to the board for discussion. Jason, would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So I really, it's really helpful that you have kind of these in your presentation, the before and the after. It's really, it's very helpful for me to visualize the changes that you made. And I'm very happy to see that you kind of, you responded to our comments in a very thoughtful way. So I think it's a much more successful project than it was the first time. And I'm very happy to see that you're utilizing the understory, you know, for everything that's happening here with the climate and the beach. My one comment I had was on the water facing view, where you have the, I guess, kind of that wall that sort of then kind of leads to the dock. I think I don't know if there's any way to add any, and maybe it's because in this model I don't see it, but is there any landscaping that's kind of in that area at all, or is it just all sort of
at
solid
the lower
surface?
Level, we're right at the property line, but it could be considered to step back a foot for small plants.
I just feel like it might soften that a little bit, especially from the water view, which is a view that a lot of people, especially on boats, will see. But even anybody I just think it's kind of to have that. You know, we're getting a lot of things like this now because of the understory. So you end up with a pool that's elevated, which is just part of the what happens with these designs. Either you keep the pool down low or you put it up high. Both are viable. But I just think for me, just maybe softening.
Hi, Jason.
Yes, Matthew.
Hi, Jason. This is Matthew Lewis. Hey, how are you?
Good.
I think that's a great comment. We could plant some ficus repens that, you know, eventually would, you know, kind of take over that whole facade adjacent to the boat dock. So I think, you know, within a year and a half, 2 years, that would be completely covered in green.
Yeah, I think that would look it would look nicer, I think. I mean, I don't know if the whole thing is going to be blocked by a giant boat anyway, but I think in general it would be nice to have that wall softened, especially since I would view that even as like a public-facing side of the project, just as we would look at the front facade or a front wall. And maybe even more so, it should be a little bit more delicate and natural because it's on the water, right, as opposed to on the street. So, but other than that, I think you've made some great improvements. And yep.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I had Jason. I'm glad that you mentioned that with the back because I do feel like that back wall was just a little bit unresolved. It just seems so solid. I don't know. It needed something. It needed something. And then, yeah, Michael, are there any specific design guidelines, you know, to prevent these, you know, docks being built with walls adjacent to them due to pools or what? Because I'm assuming we're going to see a lot of this coming
up. Yeah, I think it's more something for the board concerning the design, because the code does allow basically that pool deck to extend out to the waterway at an elevation of BFE plus 5. So the consideration is that's not allowed for the side. So the sides have to step back within the required setback. But, the code does allow that. I think one of the things that we have seen that the board has commented on when somebody tries to propose a dock that's also at that height. So I think it's a combination of, like Jason suggested, some landscape to mitigate that wall. And in this case, they're not proposing an elevation, you know, a substantially elevated dock, and have the board look at the heights or the location of the docks.
And did you put the stairway on the side so you could have more space in the back? Because a stairway along that back wall would also break up, you know, the solidity and the massing.
On the back?
Yeah, instead of, yeah.
We could review that. I think it would take part of the pool deck, which was not that large. I remember we went back and forth with pool deck and pool design, but we could review that with the owners.
Yeah, I think they probably didn't want to do, because you'd have to do like a glass railing or something, because it would block your view if you had a stair parallel to the water, because then you're going to have something to for safety. I think your stair is along the side, so you're not blocking the view. So I think it's a concern of not blocking the view. But once you're down there, I think the landscaping, like Jason suggested, will help.
Well, I mean, and how they have the stair design on the side is it does sort of disappear.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the perspective, I think it's, I don't know, page 11, you get a good view of the stair. That was just my thought as a way to break up the massing in the back, too, to have the stair there. But, I mean, I understand the pool deck. Okay. Who else would like to comment? Scott?
I had exact same comments as you guys about that wall, but I know you're working with staff for final materiality, but it still feels kind of dark to me. I just, with the black marble and the materials are beautiful, don't get me wrong. I caution you to not make it so dark. Be cognizant of that. I don't know if it's the renderings. I know it's kind of at dusk or whatever, but it's a beautiful design. I like the changes you've made, but it just feels dark, and I think the difference of selecting a few lighter materials could really just brighten it up. That's just my comment.
Yes, I understand. We'll review with the owners.
Yeah, I like the changes too. Overall, I like this design. A few caveats when what we talked about with the resolving the area along the dock. I think that sort of just, I noticed that one of the trees that's being removed is a mango tree, which is heresy here in South Florida, but, you know, Carrie, you're going to regret that. But there was that. I would also say, too, you know, talking about the materials, I know that you're going to use the ipé wood. That's what's listed, and we've discussed this before. If there is a more sustainable, similar option, we always strongly encourage applicants to do that. I also was interested in this comment about the open, the changing the understory to make it more open, because I noticed it seems like, and if you go to, I guess it's page 10 in the presentation, the 2022 design versus the design you're presenting today, it seems much more closed because you remove the louvers.
Yes.
So, I mean, overall, I really like the changes that you made. I think the house, it seems a lot more light and interesting. But I don't, I guess I agree with staff. Michael, that was what you were going to work on.
Yeah, I do think that the prior design for the understory from the side was more successful because it had this sort of fineness to it with the with breaking the massing. So I think we can work with them to open that up again.
Yeah. Well, and what I also am curious, too, about all these homes, the understories, especially on the Venetian Islands, on the water, where they do flood, and I guess this was a general question, too, that, you know, and you've maximized the square footage, you've maximized the lot coverage. I wonder if there's, if on the understory, the materials could be a little bit less hardscape, like instead of those concrete tiles, just maybe pebbles. I don't know. What I don't want to happen is that I'd like the house that's there now. It seems like there's a lot of open area, grass, whatever, that can absorb rainwater and floodwater. And I want to make sure that you're not replacing it with too much hardscape that's just going to cause flooding. Like, it's great that the house is raised, but, you know, if we could avoid the flooding to begin with, or if you could design it so that, you know, the ground gets to absorb the water as opposed to pour it into the street where it's going to be affected by homes that are maybe lower at this point. I don't know if that's something that, you know, Jason can speak to, or you could, or...
Well, I think, yeah, I think in the plans too, they do show a setback of about 5 feet from the exterior edge before they have their pavers, mm-hmm. and they are pavers on sand. So I think that's all helpful, yeah.
And how about the understory area towards the back?
Well, towards the back, basically, there's not much room because you have the elevated, pool deck, so that the rear area along the water is basically fill.
What about, and maybe look at page 14? There's an understory, a covered area. It says concrete pavers on compacted sand base. Is that something that could be more open? Or, I mean, I don't know if this is a real problem, but. Like, if I'm worried about something that's not really going to be...
Well, as far as the flooding, it's a major issue, of course. For this project, a civil engineer will do the calculations and provide exfiltration trenches. In the past, they were doing the calculation, and the water is retained in the exfiltration trenches, like big pipes. It's basically like a linear tank. And sometimes also in swells on the sites. Nowadays, we're asking the engineers to design the entire water retention in exfiltration trenches because of the rain events. So that would take care of that part.
One other thing I just noted, too, is that this is probably the highest understory I've seen in terms of the first level. So typically, we'll see the understory at the minimum elevation, which is 5.26. They're going to 6.83. So it's basically a foot and a half higher than what most understory homes are. And this is something that is now something that previously, if someone were to do that, they'd be at a disadvantage in terms of the height. But with the new code, it gives them more height for the understory to accommodate this higher first level. So I think that foot and a half is going to help a lot with flooding.
Yes, we will have retaining walls on the sides, and then you have a lot more dirt and in between the dirt is.
But does that mean, though, that when the rain comes, it's going to fall from their house into the house?
No, because they'll have to provide a swale. Uh-huh. And so basically there's going to be retaining wall along the sides, but there's a maximum elevation that those side yards can be at. And typically for understory homes, there's a swale, so they'll go lower than that, lower than the understory level for the required side yards.
Okay. Yes, it would not be approved, you know, if the water is spill into the street or to the side. Yeah.
Especially on the narrow, like I would call this a narrow lot, I suppose. Like so, on wider lots, the engineering can be there's a little bit more creativity with the water management because you can build retention areas in lower parts. On any lot that's like this, it's all engineering. So there's tons of civil work that has to happen here to take all this water because it's taking all the water from the roof and all the flat surfaces and everywhere. It has to keep it on the site, knowing that it's actually the whole thing is up higher than potentially its adjacent neighbors. So he had mentioned that there's going to be the retention containment tanks, and there's like a whole system of stuff that's going to have to happen here that we don't necessarily see, but they won't get through permit without having this very, very engineered project site. It kind of costs a lot of money to do because you're basically retaining quite a bit of water in things that are below the grade. So, but they won't get through a permit without having it. So potentially that solves those problems.
Yeah. But also with the understory, because if this was a typical home without an understory, you would have a 7.5-foot setback with a wall on the line. And so with this additional 5-foot allowed for pervious area, you have 12 feet now a pervious area along the side versus 7 feet. So there's more room for the water to drain on the property versus being pushed to the sides.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? Do you have any comments? Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion? Or I should also say, too, that I think it would be interesting to Scott's comment about it being very dark, even to sort of explore a different palette. You know, I think that the black marble is elegant, but something. I also, I don't know, in terms of long-term maintenance, you know, our water is so, like I know that's a fountain with the black marble, and you know, our water has so many minerals in it.
I believe the front is facing west where the sun hits, and same thing with the minerals, with any sprinkler will stain those walls. It's really something to consider.
Yes, we will consider a lighter. We'll discuss with the owners, especially for this climate here with the sun. We could also consider a porcelain material. Now the technology has advanced tremendously, so it can simulate marble, and it will do better, you know, over the years.
So we're going to add a condition regarding the landscaping between the wall on the water and the property line. Condition regarding sustainable wood versus the ipe, and then if you wanted to just have them explore something as an alternative to dark marble or make it a requirement.
I would say explore. I mean, it's really for your own good and for your client's own good. Those of us who grew up here remember walls with like rust marks from sprinklers, and anything dark has mineral deposits on it. And it's just a constant, unless it's expensive and probably difficult to maintain that good look, that sharp, clean, beautiful, modern look. And it'll just start looking run down. And that's all I'm trying to prevent for you guys.
And it's the front of the house.
Yes.
You know, I know someone who has a kitchen with black marble countertops, and it's so much harder than they would have expected to keep it looking the way they want to.
I understand. That's to be resolved.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve DRB application 22-0876 with the conditions that the applicant will add additional landscape element between the water-facing wall and the dock, and that the applicant will work with staff to explore lighter materiality in lieu of the dark marble finish.
A second.
And to explore a sustainable option for the hardwood, which still could be there technically, I guess, is sustainable ipe as well, they say. So I would just make sure.
Yes, the materials at this time, I think it's just in concept. You know, they haven't been selected specifically.
Okay, that motion was seconded by Mr. Diffendorfer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next item on the agenda is DRB 23-0910, 1790 Purdy Avenue. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new three-story marine patrol facility to replace an existing two-story structure.
And the board may remember this first came before you on April 4th of this year, and the board had several substantial design concerns over the application. The architect has done a very substantial and well-conceived reevaluation of the project, and the plans have been substantially redesigned. Staff is, again, fully supportive of the application, is recommending approval.
Good morning, everyone.
Just 1 minute before we start, have there been any ex parte communications with the board members on this item?
No.
Nope. Okay. And is 10 minutes okay?
Yeah, 10 minutes is okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, this is the Marine Patrol facility at Marie Skip Park. We intend to replace the existing facility, and which currently houses the police Marine Patrol, and the new facility will bring fire to the site as well for the Marine Patrol. Our consultant, Lee Feinberg, will walk you through the changes that we've made.
Lee? Good morning, everyone. Lee Feinberg with MC Harry. These are the comments that we received, and we've worked to address all of them, mainly, you know, considering a style for the building that's appropriate to the neighborhood, to Miami Beach, and to this municipal building, variation of building materials, reconsider the color scheme, relationship to the park, and its landscaping. Just to reintroduce ourselves, we're MC Harry. We've been working with the City of Miami Beach as a client for 20 years. We designed Fire Station 4. We renovated the Beach Patrol headquarters. We've worked in small ways on Fire Station 1 and the police headquarters, so we're very familiar with the municipal buildings. We've done significant studies for conditions assessment and visioning for the Fillmore, Byron Carlisle, Barclay Building. We designed Collins Park, and we are currently working on the Rotunda renovation and addition. In the neighborhood of Sunset Harbor, we are familiar with the architectural styles there. On the bottom right is the facilities management building you asked us to take another look at. Around the outsides of this image are more contemporary examples in the neighborhood. And then down the center is some of the buildings that have been there a little bit longer and where we took a lot of inspiration from their horizontal banding and the same sort of scale as our building will be. In the future, Maurice Gibb Park will be completely redesigned, rebuilt, and there's a few other developments in the neighborhood that have this horizontal development. So our update, as you recall, our project is at 1790 Purdy Avenue at the edge of Maurice Gibb Park. This is our area of work in yellow, where we're creating some parking and the new building adjacent to that star-shaped image, which is the playground for the park. So we have redeveloped the building to incorporate a lot of mid-century elements as well as a couple of deco things. So we've enhanced this horizontal banding around our main volume and added a stone veneer material. We've redesigned the stair tower to be more vertical, more deco looking with aluminum fins. We've added a color to this lowest block. And go to the next one. We've also brought in other materials that are more familiar in Miami Beach. We've added, instead of this a fencing on the lower part of our boat bays, we've put in breeze block. And then on the lower green volume on the left, we've used a ribbed concrete block to give some materiality while hiding what's basically the generator room. Again, you can see the horizontal banding on our upper level, and you can start to see the ribbon windows that we've added on the water side. So coming around towards the water, you can see the ribbon windows. All those are the common rooms for the police and fire stations. So giving, you know, the staff there a better experience. And what we've done is we've completely broken down the volume of the west element. We've widened the large tower and then sort of cascaded down with some volumes to break down the building as it heads towards the water. So, and we have a lot of nautical elements in general, as we did last time. We have a sort of a widow's walk element. We've lowered all the parapets and then added a railing back 2 feet, so it appears like a widow's walk at all the balconies and the roof. Coming around again, we have this cascading element. We also have that ribbed block on the west side, on the lowest green element there, to give it some texture and work with the other volumes here. Also, in all these images, I'm going to show you in a second more about the landscaping. From the roof, we've increased the size of the screen over our mechanical equipment so that the residents of Sunset Harbor Tower will have less view. And you can also see the aluminum sort of vertical element over the east there. Also adds some visual interest from the top. And breaking down that volume on the water side also reduces the heft of the building. As for materials, as I mentioned, we have aluminum fins. We have this ribbed block on the east and west side, a stone veneer, and then breeze block around our boat bays, which has a stainless steel grill, roll-up grill. We did this image. This is as you enter the park via vehicle to show a little bit more about landscaping. We have several electrical transformers on a small island in front of us, so we're trying to hide those a bit. So this is more reflective of our landscape for that area with some saw palmettos trying to hide what are very large pieces of equipment. Coming around again, more of the landscaping, and here you can see a little more how we're going to interact with the park. On the left is the shade structure for the park project and how, you know, our landscaping will integrate with the park's design. Coming around to the west side, we are maintaining a public access. You can see someone walking their dog there. A public access sort of along the bay as they have it today. Same way that Sunset Harbor residents often get to the park, we're maintaining that in our current design. This is the parking area, which also has landscaping around it. Oh, and we put the flagpole on the building, which I failed to mention. But so, also here's those electrical equipment again from the side. And then we have a couple of images that are from what it would look like when you're approaching on your marine patrol boat. So just to show that we're trying to think of how this looks from a distance, from the houses that are across the water, from apartments, and then from down the street. Something that looks more, something that Miami Beach can be proud of, that looks municipal, looks like, hey, what is that building? And the plan has largely stayed the same, except for a small change in the back to create that cascading volume. Just to show that we are coordinating our landscape plan with the images that you've seen. And these just show that the windows in the police and fire stations are ribbon windows so that they have the best view of the water. And that concludes our presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public wishing to speak? Anybody here or online?
There's nobody online.
Okay, I don't see anybody in chambers. I'm now going to close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to the board for discussion.
Yeah, I'll start. Oh. I can barely contain myself. This is like the best episode of like extreme government building makeover that I've ever seen. Great. So, I mean, I guess I need to really thank the client, and I have to thank the architect for thoughtfully listening to what our board said at the last meeting. I I think everything I see here, I just feel like, wow, they like this is to me this is a building the city should be very, very proud of here in a very, very, in a space that is very exposed on pretty much like four sides.
Yes.
And the top. And I think whatever you did with your team, for me, it just really resonates Miami Beach to me. The tonality, the color, the textures, some of these very subtle elements. I love this park-facing facade that, you kind of have integrated a little seat step thing, which could be a lot of things, it's like a buffer, it's security, but it's also a seat, and you could be... I mean, I think it's really nice how your building actually responds to the park. I think it's amazing how your building responds to the water. And then the front face of it, I think... like that view down the street, which I think in your last rendering, I think is very impactful. It's impactful, but it's also subtle and very neighborhoody, which is what this needs to be. So I'm super happy to see that you got here with this, because I think this is a great example of, I think, what this board hopefully can do for projects in general, and that they were not looked at as kind of like this horrible group of people that doesn't want things to happen, but that we really make an effort and an energy to give comments that can be responded to and absorbed by the team, right? Because we don't really tell you exactly what to do. We don't really want to do that. But for me, I think the interpretation of what we said is exemplified in what I see here, and I'm really, really happy to see this. And I think the city will be very proud to have this building here. So great job.
Thank you. We were very excited to work on it. Yeah.
Excuse me, guys. It's Sarah. We do have one person with their hand raised now. Would you mind reopening the public
hearing? Sure. I'm going to reopen and call on
Mr. Bruce Backman. Are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I had my hand up before, but I guess didn't see. Just a few questions. First, there's public restrooms in there.
Mr. Backman, we need to, excuse me, Mr. Backman, we need to swear you in.
Mr. Backman, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, and I'll set the clock for 2 minutes for you to address the board.
Okay, just a couple questions. What's the actual total height to the top of the stair? Tower, is there any kind of security provision for public restrooms and estimated date of completion? That's it.
Thank you so much.
As far as the restrooms, we're replacing the restrooms that are currently there in the Marine Patrol building. So on the park side, there'll be restrooms for the public. The height to the top of the tower. To the top of the tower is about 48 feet, and then to this element above it, the metal element, is about 55 feet.
The public restrooms?
No, the question was the completion date.
Oh.
I wanted to let you have that.
So we are, we really want to expedite this project because, as you all know, Mariscape Park is under construction. It is slated to be under construction for 2 years, and we want to start this one before. So we're thinking it's going to start construction somewhere around April of 2025 because this is on the water. We do have extensive permitting that needs to occur with DERM, but as soon as we can, and then construction is expected to last about 12 to 15 months.
And we have one other public commenter, Sarah De Los Reyes.
Good morning, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, I just need to swear you in.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just need to swear you in before you address the board. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and I'm going to set the clock for 2 minutes for you to address the board.
Hey, Colette, you're saying that this is going to start the 25th, that 2025, that's when they're going to start the building?
Early, yes.
Early. Yes. And how many bathrooms does it have? Does it have two or three?
It has three single-user bathrooms.
Okay, so it's three of. I do like the design a lot better than the first design. Yes, there's a big change on this building compared to the first one. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm done.
Thank you, Sarah, for your comments, and thank you, Bruce, as well.
Anybody else?
That concludes the public commenters.
I want to say she was here last time and they didn't even mind the other building.
Yes.
But you guys, you deserve so much praise for listening to everything we said, and I can't believe you took everything we said and made it happen. And you referenced all the, you know, now that I look at it all in one place, I've never seen this before in Sunset Harbor, all the crazy architecture that's just kind of evolved because it, I mean, it's crazy that you actually fit it all in. So, I mean, it's such a cool thing to be part of this. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sam, do you have any comments?
Okay. Nope.
I agree. It's really, you know, I do remember during the last meeting at one point, you know, we were listing these things we wanted to change and you were just like, we got it. I understand. And clearly, you know, you knew what you and your team are capable of. I really like it too. I think it's so interesting, the mixing of the styles, where it really is a history of Miami Beach architecture smushed into one little building. And I even like the rear, where you just have these more, you know, simple, more solid volumes, which speaks to, you know, all the single family homes that we've been seeing more recently, and all that. No, I agree with my colleagues. I think you did a great job. I'm glad that Jason pointed out the stairs in the facade that's facing. I would wonder too, because I'm envisioning, I mean, you have pictures of families sitting there. I don't know if it's something to explore, maybe putting a tree there to create some shade so that when they are sitting on those steps, it's a little bit less hot or shaded or whatever. I don't know if there's space for it. It's hard to tell from the renderings, but just throwing it out there. This is like night and day. I will say this. I still, while there's significant improvement, I would say the only thing that I feel like is still a little bit unresolved is this stair massing in the front. With the reduction in elements, the proportions become even more important. And I want this tower to be more narrow, but I realize that it's probably the size that it is because it's a stairwell and there's only so much leeway you have design-wise for that. I know that the stairwell in the front, you know, was from the previous design as well. Why isn't the stairwell internal in your design?
Internal?
You know, I guess, as I'm looking at all of the different sides together, every view that I have in the renderings that you don't see the tower, I think is amazingly successful. And then when you do see the tower, it for me, it doesn't work as well. So I'm wondering, for me, that says, you know what, this tower. So I don't, yeah.
The reason is the central plans are basically open floor plates and with the stairs on the outside. So it makes the space planning inside for each, the police station and the fire station, work. If we try to put that stair in, another problem is that on the ground floor, you're trying to fit 45-foot long boats underneath the building. So this where we have our bathrooms is only 7 or 8 feet deep. And so if we put the stair there, we put the stair there, then you don't have anywhere to put the bathrooms, and then it affects the plan upstairs if you put the stair internal.
I think it's also relatively small footprint.
We did try to elongate
footprint.
It with this element. That's what we're trying to do because we know it's got a stair proportion. So we're trying to elongate it with this a fin element.
And I think it's also a product of us having three different users and having access to the stairs by all three users. And maintain separation at the same time because there is separation between the different uses. I think that came out of the design as we tried to meet the need of each user. Keep in mind, this facility, not disregarding the public use, has parks, fire, and police, and they all have different levels of access throughout the facility.
Yeah, maybe they could work with staff a little bit. Maybe it's partly, I know you did a really neat job of like the fins and then there's some solid on the side. And I'm sure you looked at sort of the proportion of what you need structurally to support the stair and then what we can do with the decorative fin element. And maybe there's like a little fine tuning between the width of those side elements and the middle element that might maybe proportionally make it a little bit more delicate to Sarah's comment. I mean, I kind of get the whole tower idea. There's several examples of this in Miami Beach also, of these sort of these towers that are attached to these 1950s and 60s buildings.
Like the Plymouth Hotel. Road. Yeah.
Right. So I totally get the language.
Remind me of the Plymouth.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Me too.
That's right.
So, and yeah, I mean, there's just so many things. I just love this little flagpole thing. I just think it's really, really cool.
Okay.
Or maybe even the aluminum on top wouldn't be so tall.
That's what I was wondering. The scale of the fins, maybe using a smaller module and having it extended a little bit high might refine it a little bit more.
Yes, yes. And I'm assuming, too, that it can't, you know, or maybe even the placement. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just that you have these beautiful clean lines with that stone material and the fins, and then it's broken up by this other element. Just wanted to encourage you. But I really like how you've used color to indicate the different volumes and how the volumes interact. I think it's, of all the types of styles to conquer, it's hardest to mix them. And we've seen that done not so well many times. So I think this has so much potential. I would just play with the location and or proportion of the tower elements. Yeah, work with staff. Something. I just want it to be a little bit more cohesive and not overbearing.
Okay.
Shall I make a motion?
I'm going to make a motion to approve the application.
A second.
What's the condition we're going to put in there regarding the tower elements?
That the applicant will work with staff on the proportionality and the size of the vertical members, maybe looking at working to do something to make the tower more cohesive with the rest of the building and perhaps make it a little bit more delicate.
I think delicate is
delicate,
a good...
Delicate, yeah.
Could you, well, I guess even... move it to the rear or no? I'm not looking at the floor plan, so if the answer is no, I understand.
it's funny. Every time I've tried to move something on this building, it doesn't move. But the reason it's there is because if you move it back, it's where the transformers are, the electrical transformers. But yeah, we can look at especially the structure, see if we could sort of try to turn it inside out and you know, lighten up those walls. Might help a lot. Definitely try to.
Was that motion seconded by Mr. Diffenderfer?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Thank you all so very much.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Congrats.
With that, actually, I tried to contact Mr. Comas. I have not been able to reach him. So, unfortunately, because we only have 4 members present, our last application is dependent upon a setback variance, so we will have to continue this application to the July meeting. You'll be first on the agenda for July. I mean, I do anticipate having 2 more appointees from the commission in June, so we're hoping to have a full board by July. But at this point, I think there's no other option but to continue the application to the July meeting. So can I get a motion to continue the next application? For the record, is DRB 23-0915 for 4447 North Bay Road. Todd, did you want to say anything? Okay. So can I get a motion to continue that application to the July meeting?
I so move.
I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion passes 4-0. That application is continued to the July meeting.
I move to adjourn this meeting, unless anybody has anything to say.
Second.
Okay.
Meeting's adjourned.
See you in July.